The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Welcome to The Rescue Worker, this community of Jesus apprentices where we are trying to become more like Jesus, loving and serving like Him. I'm so glad that you have joined us today. We are on our fourth day of the 15th week of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. Tomorrow is our last day of this week and the last day of this year for this rescue worker community. Tomorrow will be the last day of broadcasting. And we'll have a Christmas and New Year break. And in January, we'll come back. I'll post on our social media when we are returning or resuming our live broadcast and our study and the Gospel of Luke. In the meantime, you can watch it again and listen again some of the episodes, maybe caught up with some that you have missed, right? But I pray that you continue this journey to learn who is Jesus and to become more like Him. And as you study about Jesus, you realize that Jesus is all about love. And that's the reason the motto for Jesus apprentices here in The Rescue Worker is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. That is the way that we will accomplish becoming more like Jesus. As we love God, spend time with Him, being connected with Him, having fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And loving your neighbors and loving yourselves will be like Jesus. And I pray that this transformational journey is in place in your life. That you are joining hands with God in this journey of becoming more like Jesus. Well, the last memory verse for this year is Luke 7, verse 13. When the Lord saw her, His heart overflowed with compassion. Don't cry, He said. The ministry of Jesus was based on compassion because God is merciful, is compassionate. So Jesus showed this compassion. And we should be compassionate, being merciful as well. That is the heart of the Sermon of the Mountain. And for me, it's so beautiful to rest and understand when Jesus is looking at me, He's using the lens of mercy. It's not the lens of justice. It's not all of lens of spanking me. It's a lens of mercy and grace. Yes, sometimes mercy and grace will lead us to tough lessons to be learned. But because of mercy, based on love, not based on vengeance, anger, but based on love. And it's with this love that we need to be connected every single day. Connect with this mercy and grace. It's only through this grace and mercy that we are transformed. It's only being the presence of the merciful and graceful God that we can find life, meaning for life, that we can have hope for life. So every day we need to come to the Lord, come to Jesus, come to the Father, come to the Holy Spirit. And we have the assurance, the promise of Hebrews 4:16, that every time we come, we find grace and mercy. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God,
there we'll receive His mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. It's based on this grace and mercy that we come to God. It's based on this grace and mercy that we experience God and we are transformed according to the image of God. Therefore, we're supposed to become graceful and merciful people, to live in this kingdom of grace and mercy. That is so beautiful, and that is so appealing to many. I know sometimes people are appealing to justice, anger, and all that vision of God that, in my humble opinion, is more related to the pagan gods than the biblical God. But before we continue and study verses 24 to 28 of Luke 7, our portion for today, I want to give you a moment for you to meet grace and mercy at Jesus' throne, at the Father's throne, with the Holy Spirit. So take this moment at this time to connect with God, to be in God's presence, to ask His mercy and His grace, and to ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes and your ears to understand the message for today. And then after that, we'll come for a short prayer and the study of God's Word. I hope to see you in 1 minute. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is so wonderful to be in the presence of mercy and grace. It is so good to be in your presence, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for this opportunity that we have of grace and mercy. Lord, we are thankful because You have been with us throughout those 15 weeks of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. It has been a transformative journey for me, and I pray that other people are experiencing the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives as well. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You give us the proper discernment to understand the message for today. And more than discernment, Lord, we pray for the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit so we may apply these lessons in our lives. Forgive our sins. Be with us and be with everyone that is hearing my voice right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, here we are. And where we are? Well, we are coming out of the Sermon of the Plain, what in the book of Matthew we know as the Sermon of the Mountain. This sermon that presents who God is, what is His kingdom about, and what He expects from His citizens of this kingdom. And what is that? Luke 6:36, you must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. On chapter 7, we see this compassion, this mercy alive and how that takes form and shape in the Roman and human perspective. And the first person to manifest this, the applications of the Sermon of the Plain, is a Roman officer. He loved the people of Israel. He had a respect for them. And he was concerned and he was being merciful towards his slave. Then we saw Jesus being mercy himself as he resurrected the son of a widow from the city or the town of Nain. And then, yesterday we studied John the Baptist and his disciples presenting to Jesus a question. Is this the kind of kingdom, the kind of messiahship that we should expect? This merciful? Where is that judgment? Where is that message? And Jesus reinforced the kingdom of God. It is about mercy. Displaying grace and mercy where they are not present. Making the difference. So that was what we saw yesterday. And Jesus finished with a beatitude. Verse 23 of Luke 7. And he added, God blesses those who do not fall away because of me. God bless those that do not fall away because of the mercy of Jesus, of the mercy of his kingdom. His kingdom is based on mercy. And Luke is trying to highlight that, in my humble opinion, in a special way, because the people that he's talking about, he's introducing Jesus, are Gentiles that had a different understanding between the relationship of the deities and humankind, a different cosmovision, a different paradigm of life and God. And he's over and over and saying, it is about mercy. The God that we serve, Jesus, is about mercy and love. He has mercy for you. And somehow I do believe that this message needs to be proclaimed over and go over. The kingdom of God is a merciful kingdom that has a king that rules with mercy and grace. So now we come to verse 24. The disciples of John left, but Jesus didn't stop talking about John. And let's now pay attention what he has to say about John. Because somehow he will try to define more about his merciful kingdom. So starting in verse 24. After John's disciples left, Jesus began talking about him to the crowds. And now what we'll see in the following verses is Jesus asking three questions. Three rhetorical questions, where the first two, you expect a negative answer. And that is a way and a structure to point out to one specific true answer. So Jesus, as he used that two negative answers, he's point out to the true answer. So let's go. What kind of man did you go into the wilderness to see? The people that were following Jesus, the majority of them, they went to see John the Baptist. And now they are following Jesus. And somehow Jesus is trying to help them to discern the reason they went to see John and the reason they should follow Jesus. And that is important to keep in mind. As Jesus navigates the life of John, he's navigating his life, because the life of John and Jesus, since the beginning of the account of Luke, they are connected. Where the life of John points out to the life of the Messiah. So the people are following Jesus, they went to see John. And why did you go and saw John? Now, the question will become why you are here or why should you be here? So, the first question of Jesus or answer to why you went to the wilderness to see him was he a weak reed swayed by every breath of wind? So, did you go to the wilderness to see that reed being moved by the wind? Hey, John's message was not the most popular message. It was a tough message. That was not the reason you went there in the wilderness. Because his message was not so popular. So no, yeah, we didn't go to see the noise of this reed in the desert moving. Verse 25, the second option. Or were you expecting to see a man dressed in expensive clothes? No. People who wear beautiful clothes and live in luxury aren't found in palaces. Hey, John was a very humble person. And not just his message was not popular, the way John was presenting his message in the wilderness was not the most appealing way. It was all like well decorated, well structured, they would probably go in a different place. And John's message was not popular to the rich people or to those fine people. Otherwise, John was in prison at least for 6 months already because his message against the people on the other level, in a sense, or the rich people or the government, those that live in the palace, were so upset that put him in prison. So people didn't want to go see John because per se, it's his message, or even the shape or form of his message. So Jesus gives two options that he expects a no. So he presents one that would be the proper answer. But Jesus goes beyond what people were expecting him to say. And now comes here verse 26. Were you looking for a prophet? The reason they went in the desert is because they recognize that John was a prophet. According to the canonic text, the Bible, the last prophet had been Malachi, close to 400 years at least from John the Baptist. For 400 years, there's a silence, and now it looks like there's a prophet in town. So people went to see what this prophet was, not because of its message per se, or even the form that he presented, but because he was a prophet. But Jesus, he didn't stop there, because that was common knowledge. Yes, everybody called John as prophet. Even people realized maybe he's the Christ, the Messiah. And yesterday we read some of these verses, people asking, John, are you the Messiah? And said, no, I'm not Messiah. The Messiah is bigger, is more than I. And his message and his power, right? I baptize you with water, but the Messiah baptizes you with the fire. But Jesus goes beyond. John was not only a prophet. Let's go here, verse 26. Were you looking for a prophet? Yes. And he is more than a prophet. Okay, so who is John? And if John is more than a prophet, who is John? And I can see the puzzle of people's eyes. So people went there to listen to a prophet. They went to the wilderness. But Jesus is saying, no, he is more than a prophet. So who is John? Verse 27, John is the man to whom the scriptures refers when they say. So Jesus now connects the answer. Who is John? He goes to the Bible. And here again, we will see a Bible verse that if you try to look the exact description or the words of this verse from the Hebrew Bible, you may not find. And why not? Because Jesus somehow, he mixed two portions, at least two portions of the Hebrew Bible. Jesus had done that before. I don't know if you remember. But when Jesus went for the first time on his public ministry to open his mouth and present his itinerary, the script for his ministry, and we have been reading this script for some time already, Luke 4, 18 and 19. Jesus, he takes and combines portions from Isaiah 6 to 1 and Isaiah 58. And he leaves out some components, and we talked about that yesterday. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and the time of the Lord's favor has come. This description, this itinerary of Jesus' ministry that he's trying to fulfill every single day based on the power of the Holy Spirit and the mercy doesn't come from one verse, comes off a mix of verses. So here again, he mixed some verses. And what are the verses that he's mixing that will describe who is John and why he's more than a prophet? Well, let me take you to at least two Bible verses in the Hebrew Bible. The first comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 23. Exodus 23, and we'll be reading verse 20. And here we are. See, I'm sending an angel before you to protect you on your journey and lead you safely to the place that I have prepared for you. So here in Exodus 23:20, we see God making a promise about an angel. He will not be Moses. He's talking about another person, an angel, someone that would protect them to lead them to the promised land so they reach the blessing and the promises that God has provide to them. So as Jesus is telling about John and he's using this Bible verse or portion of this Bible verse, we can imagine that John is the one, an angel leading, a messenger leading people to the promised land. Who is the promised land here? It's not a geographical location, but it's Jesus and his kingdom. So John is not only a prophet, he is the one leading us to the Messiah, to Christ, to the kingdom of God. And the second part or the second verse that Jesus uses or refers to comes from the book of Malachi, the last prophet of the Hebrew Bible. Malachi 3 verse 1. Pay attention. Look, I'm sending my messenger and he will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord who are seeking will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant who you look for so eagerly is surely coming, says the Lord of heaven's arms. So John is presented as this messenger that would prepare the way for the one of the covenant, the one that will appear in the temple, the one. And it's very interesting because here in Malachi, since we are here, 4 verse 5, he identifies this messenger that will prepare the way as Elijah. Look, I'm sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. So, in a sense, John is more than a prophet because he's the one that directly lead people to the promised one, to the promised land, to the one of the covenant, to the Messiah, the Christ, and his kingdom. A merciful God sending a merciful Messiah of a merciful kingdom. So John is more than a prophet because he has the pleasure, the opportunity to introduce the Messiah. So as Jesus presents who John is, he's telling who he is. Jesus is the Messiah of God's kingdom. But Jesus don't stop here as he talks about John. I'll tell you, verse 28, and here we'll finish. But we have two parts here that I want to consider. I tell you, and every time Jesus says, I tell you, he is saying, hey, pay attention to what I'm up to say right now to you. I tell you, of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John. Whoa! What Jesus is saying here? John is greater than Moses? Yes. But Moses gave the law. But John gave the Messiah. Presented the Messiah. So John is more than David that established the kingdom of Israel? Yes. Because John introduced the king of the kingdom of God. So what they are saying here, or Jesus is saying, my humble opinion, he's saying John is greater than anyone, not because of John himself, but because of his mission and what he had done. He has prepared the way, introduced the Messiah and his kingdom. And the kingdom of God and the Messiah is bigger, more important than Moses, more important than David. And just to contribute with this line of thought, let's jump to Luke 16, verse 16. We'll be studying that verse by God's grace next year, or in the future. And here we have John, Luke 16:16. Until John the Baptist, the law of Moses and the message of the prophets were your guides. But now the good news of the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone is eager to get it, to get in. Do you see here? Jesus and his kingdom is more important than the Torah, Moses, and what he brought. Jesus and his kingdom is more important than all the prophets and all the messages that they gave. And somehow, Moses and the prophets point out to Jesus. John 5:39. You search the scriptures because you believe that you'll find eternal life. And I can tell you, Jesus says, I am the one that the scriptures talk about. So, because the kingdom of God and the Messiah of its kingdom is more important than the Torah and the laws and the prophets. Therefore, John And his mission is more important than the mission of Moses and the mission of the prophets. Therefore, he's greater than them. Do you see here the point? And do you see the application here? The kingdom of God is more important than the Torah, the Ten Commandments, and the prophets. Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that the kingdom of God and Jesus is more important than anything else. That's what I'm saying. Pastor, are you saying that the Torah and the prophets don't have any value? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that Jesus is greater and more important than anything else. And if you should be an apprentice, you should not be apprentice of the Torah or the prophets, but of Jesus. You should focus not on the Torah or on the prophets, but in Jesus. But Pastor, you're saying that we should forget about... No, I'm not saying that. And what I'm saying is about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And if you focus on Jesus and the Messiah and the King of God, guess what? You will be fulfilling the Torah and the prophets. However, if you focus on the Torah, on the laws, on the Ten Commandments, or even the prophets, you may not come to know Jesus and to live in the kingdom of God. Because the only way to come into the kingdom is through Jesus. It's not through the law, it's not through the prophets, it's through Jesus. So Jesus is everything. It's all about Jesus. That's it. And if you follow Jesus and an apprentice of him, doing what he did, guess what? You fulfill the requirements of the law and the prophets. I tell you, all who ever lived, none is greater than John. But then Jesus says, yet, even the least person in the kingdom of God is greater than he is. Wow, what is Jesus saying here? First of all, Jesus is not destroying or abolishing what he said before, that John was important. No. But what he's saying is that the reality of the kingdom is more important than the announcement of the kingdom. Living the kingdom, experiencing the kingdom, expressing the kingdom has more value than anything else, even the proclamation about the kingdom. Even the least person, and some versions will say the smallest one. And sometimes, oh yeah, Jesus talk about kids. Yeah, Jesus may refer to kids. But the least person, and I like this translation because it's coming back to the blind, the poor, the one that being persecuted, those that are not considered being aligned with God, those that are nothing in the society. God saying they are more important than John because they are experiencing living the kingdom. The announcement of the kingdom is not greater than experiencing and living the kingdom. And the kingdom is Jesus Christ. And John had said that Jesus, the Messiah, would be greater than him. That he was not even worthy to tie his sandals. The kingdom is everything. Jesus is everything. This merciful kingdom. This merciful Messiah. So if people were following John because they thought that he was a prophet, people should realize that John was more than a prophet because he was pointing out to the kingdom of God and its Messiah. And therefore, if you're following Jesus, you cannot consider him just a prophet. You need to consider him the Messiah and the one that is bringing the kingdom. The kingdom of mercy. A Messiah that is merciful. So as you follow me as a Messiah. Follow me because of the kingdom. Because the kingdom is bigger than anything else. So let me ask you, is the kingdom everything for you? And when I say the kingdom, I'm talking about the values, the principles of the kingdom. I'm talking about the rulership of God. Are you submitting the will of God? Is the will of God the most important aspect for you? And this will is based on love. Love everyone. And when love appears, will help the poor, will help those that are crying, help those that don't have what to eat, will help those that are being persecuted. When love appears, you love the enemy, those that oppose you, those that hate you, those that curse you, those that exclude you, those that mock you. Because of this love, you'll not judge people. And because you love the kingdom, you live this loving kingdom because of its Messiah. That's more important than anything else. More important than Moses and the prophets. More important than the Torah and the laws and the prophecies. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of God. The most important aspect for you. And it's his king, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The most important for you. You see, the kingdom message is a message of surrender, repentance, and surrender. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for this message, this understanding, and who Jesus is and his kingdom. Bless us, Lord. Forgive our sins. And help us to be citizens of this kingdom. Surrender to Jesus every single day. To his will and to his kingdom. The values of his kingdom that is love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go to the questions of reflection. What is happening in this passage? What is stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and his kingdom? And what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? May God bless you. May God be with you. I hope to see you tomorrow as we finalize our 15th week or last week of this year. We'll have a break, but we'll come back on 2022 by God's grace, and we'll continue walk in the gospel of Luke. May God bless you, and I hope to see you tomorrow.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.